Friday morning to you, and welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So far, looks like a beautiful day here in Nashville. We'll see how it all plays out. Darren McFarland here, Derek Mason alongside.
It is I, and just wait. Just wait.
Just wait for what?
You said the weather looks great. Just wait.
Yeah, I know.
It's windy out there, too.
I think it's going to get, but right now it's sunny.
Oh, yeah.
Right
now it's beautiful now.
We'll see. We'll see where this goes. Willie Donick is in Chi-Town, where right now, I guess they are mourning last night's NBA draft, which was not in Chi-Town. It was in, what, Brooklyn last night?
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't Chi-Town, boy, oh
boy. Boy, oh boy.
Good Lord.
Carolyn, who has now moved over to the mornings with Braden and Fitz, is not happy about the Bulls.
No, no, and I think they have very good reason. When you trade a top 10 player, top 15 player, for nothing, basically. You trade him for nothing.
Well, it wasn't for nothing, but you view those cats as nothing?
You trade a top 15 player, might be even a top 10 player.
Okay.
And you give up your picks. You give up your spots. And you get back, what, three guys? Yeah. You would have been better off trying to trade with Cleveland to get Love and another guy, because Cleveland didn't have a pick, but to get Love and somebody else. That would have been a more fair trade. But the people in Chicago, they're probably going nuts right now.
Well, it's what we've talked about with the NBA. I mean, it's just hard to be optimistic if you're not a fan of about, I don't know, what is it, three teams? Four teams?
I mean, your fan base.
I mean, you got the Cavs, you got Golden State, San Antonio, and Boston.
Yeah, Boston.
Maybe you throw Washington in there, maybe.
Boston, you throw Boston in
there. That's why I said Boston. I said Boston.
Washington.
Cleveland, yeah. San Antonio, Golden State, maybe.
Okay,
Washington.
See, just because Westbrook's on there, and he just brings a different flair.
They're not a threat.
But, yeah, I mean, other than your own fan base, as a whole, when you look throughout the NBA, it's and maybe it changes this year. I mean, you see what Minnesota did, and them, you know, drafting guys, and they acquired Jimmy Butler. You know, they have their big three, so to speak. Then you look what Philly did. I love what Joel Embiid, his tweet about the new name for them, the Feds. Mm-hmm. I love that name.
Yeah,
now they all got to stay healthy.
Yeah, coming from a guy who's played, what, 30 NBA games?
Exactly, absolutely. Now they all got to stay healthy.
I want to wait till maybe you put
y'all
in
start
bit,
doing something.
Maybe you put in a little more work. I mean, I'm just saying. I think he's
I think he's
okay.
Smart because he probably knew somebody else would jump on it. So he kind of threw it out there. He need to copyright it or patent it, copyright it, because if he doesn't, somebody else will. And then start making T-shirts. Philly, what they're doing. Joel Embiid said, trust the process, you know, last year. And I guess you still got to trust it this year. Boston with all their picks, what they're doing. You know, so you have some young teams that have potential. But do they have enough potential within the next 3 or 4 years to you know, upstage Golden State for sure, Cleveland if LeBron stays? Because that's what it boils down to. Y'all can beat up on each other throughout the season, and y'all can beat up on each other in the playoffs. But if you can't beat Golden State and you can't beat Cleveland, whatever you guys have done as far as making trades, drafting, if you can't beat those two teams, it's all for nothing. It really is. Because you know who's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you know who's going to be in the Western Conference Finals. And if you can't beat them, all this stuff you're doing is just a false second each year.
Join them, which is what goes on in the NBA. If you can't beat them,
exactly.
Join them.
Eventually, we will join you. LeBron, where you going? Talking to him in offseason. Where you going? Okay.
Cavs, no first-round pick. Golden State, no first-round pick. Houston Rockets, no first-round pick. The Wizards, no first-round pick. The Grizzlies, no first-round pick.
I think it'd hurt a team like the Grizzlies because even though they are a tough team, they are in that they're like in that middle stage. They are good, but not good enough just yet, and they need younger players, and they need people that want to come and play in Memphis. And to not have a pick in this year's draft, I mean, goodness. Cleveland can get away with it. Golden State can get away with it, but not Memphis.
And by the way, Golden State took Jordan Bell in the second round, which everybody was praising.
So they eventually got a pick?
Mm-hmm.
At first, they didn't have a pick.
Well, they got Jordan Bell.
Okay. So.
Kid from Oregon.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
That's yeah, they got praised for that.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't go higher. What? And then our very own Luke Kornet went draftless. Does it say where he signed?
I went I was looking to see and I didn't I was actually he did he
cuz I
yeah, he
I,
did went undrafted.
Yeah, cuz I watched all the way up into the last three picks.
Mhm.
And I'm like, man, he's not going to. And then I looked on the board, the next best player, how Shane said yesterday, I was always the next best player.
Right.
For like 2 hours.
Right. That was a good line yesterday.
Yeah, so he wasn't even in the next, you know, when you talk about next best players and it was down to the last three picks, he wasn't even in the top five. Was he in the top 10 next best players? I don't think he was in the top 10.
Kennedy Meeks went undrafted, the big center from North Carolina. Isaiah Briscoe. Point guard from Kentucky went undrafted. Nigel Hayes,
oh yeah,
forward from Wisconsin
yeah.
went undrafted.
That kid should have came out, what was it, last year or the
yeah,
year before?
I know.
Yeah.
What you hate here. Devin Robinson from Florida, undrafted. Luke Kornet, undrafted. A little surprised.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see which team
he has signed a two-way deal with the Knicks.
That's good. I mean, you know, if they indeed trade
Porzingis. There, I was going to say, is he there to replace Porzingis?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He's
an undrafted guy?
Nah, he had to be drafted like in the top five.
Yeah.
He had to be their number eight pick.
A little bit tongue-in-cheek
yeah.
there.
So it's that's great. You know, the way that team is, he might end up being a starter. No telling. He might end up being a starter. A guy playing significant minutes.
The NHL schedule came out yesterday as well after our show was over, and we learned the day prior that the Predators would start off their season in Boston on Thursday, October 5th. We have now found out they will continue playing on the road first two games Saturday, October 7th in Pittsburgh. So a little rematch of the Stanley Cup Final.
That'd be cool.
In Pittsburgh on October 7th. First home game is Tuesday, October 10th here against the Flyers. Then they will play Thursday at home against the Stars. Let's see some other games of note. You think this will be a hot ticket? How about the day before Thanksgiving here against
Chicago?
Well, that would be a hot ticket too, yes. How about Montreal?
Ooh, yeah. Very hot ticket.
The day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Wednesday night?
It'd be
Canadians?
Beyond packed house.
Yeah, that'll be a tough. If you're thinking about that one, I would go on and get tickets.
Right now.
Now. Because if you're looking in October, November, good luck with that.
Nah.
Well, you could probably find them. You're just going to have to.
A hefty price.
Just get a crowbar out to get that wallet open because you're going to have to get it stretch it really wide because you're going to have to open it up and pay for those big time. Vegas comes here a couple of times. So the first time, the return of James Neal will be
December 8th.
December 8th on a Friday night
will
be the return of James Neal. And listen to this. You think some Predator fans, I've already been told, a couple have already texted me and said they've booked their flights already. You know when they play Las Vegas, the one trip out there?
is that?
Las Vegas, Preds, Golden Knights.
New Year's Eve?
Close. The day after New Year's.
Wow.
January 2nd. You think there'll be some Predators fans in Las Vegas on New Year's?
Oh, yeah. I think I have a bunch of
them. We should take a road trip.
The only time they go to Vegas?
Yeah, it might just be a long weekend.
There may be some Nashville flavor in New Year's out in the desert.
It's going to be a long weekend.
We should take the show on the road.
My goodness.
Out to Vegas.
That'd be great.
January 2nd. Unbelievable. So, pretty interesting. And then Vegas comes here again on January 16th. They will actually close out their season at home, which they've been doing a lot on the road lately, but they'll finish it out at home April 7th against Columbus. Let's see. Their trip to Detroit is Detroit, as Crispy would say, is February 20th. That will be at their new arena.
Mm, I would love to see that.
Yeah. Tuesday, February 20th will be their trip to, in fact, they play Detroit here on Saturday the 17th and turn around and play them on Tuesday in Detroit. But, believe it or not, there's a game sandwiched in between. They play three games in four nights. So they're here against Detroit Saturday, February 17th, here against Ottawa on Monday night, and then turn around and play back-to-backs. They'll be in Detroit Tuesday the 20th. So that'll be their trip to Little Caesars Arena, Pizza Pizza. We come back. Something we've been talking about. Derek Carr has signed this big deal. And what does this mean for the Titans down the road? There's a lot to talk about, including what will Mariota's contract look like. We're going to talk to Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. We will do that next on 3D ESPN 102.5 The Game. NHL draft tonight in Chicago. Willie Donick will join us at the bottom of the hour. He is up there, so we will have flavor throughout the day from Chicago. Robbie Stanley from NHL.com will come in studio with us during the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff going on, what to expect tonight, what could happen, and maybe throw out a couple scenarios that you may want to weigh in on. You just made the list coming up at noon, and then four questions. Kick back, have a little fun to finish off this Friday show. Let's bring in Terry McCormick. Been a while since we've talked to him. Been covering the Titans since they landed on Nashville soil. He's with TitanInsider.com. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there, man. It's Friday.
I'm pretty good.
You know? Nobody wants to hear anybody bellyache on Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
There you go.
We were talking about Derek Carr, and somebody, speaking of somebody who shouldn't be bellyaching these days, I mean, he better be waking up with a big smile on his face every day. Raiders quarterback who, ironically, will be here to kick off the season as the Raiders and Titans will clash at Nissan Stadium to kick off this year's regular season, and the Titans will do it at home. Derek Carr signing the richest contract out there, so he makes more than anybody, including all the elite quarterbacks in the league.
For now.
For now. And that is the key. That's the key word, and that's one of the angles where we want to go with you. When it is time, when that first contract of Marcus Mariota is up, where do you think this is headed? What do you think the number's going to look like here in a couple of years?
Oh, it's going to be crazy. I mean, you know, Carr got, what, $125 million? I think that's the number I saw out there.
Yep.
You know, it's only going to go up from there, whether it goes to 130 or 150. You know, it's only going to go up from there. And, you know, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you know, you've got two choices. You can either go back into the quarterback rubble that they came from, you know, over the past several years, or you can pay up to keep a guy who is, you know, on his way to becoming a franchise quarterback and might actually, you know, lead this team into the playoffs and Super Bowls, you know, in future years. So, you know, if you're the Titans, you know, when you're faced with that choice, there really is no choice. You're paying up. And whatever the going rate is, whatever Bruce Colner and Ryan Tolner, who represent Marcus Mariota, whatever, you know, they present to the Titans are probably going to have to go, okay, sign us up for it.
Yep. And I'm sure Mariota and his camp know, they know that they hold all the cards and they have the power. One of his new weapons is going to be Eric Decker. What do you think? Where does he fit into the Titans wide receiver landscape?
Well, I think he goes right in as one of the top three if he's healthy. You know, and that's the question. Is he healthy? You know, I think, you know, the only question that I would have is that, you know, regarding Eric Decker being on the street, was he let go by the Jets because they didn't feel like he was healthy, that he couldn't contribute, that he was, you know, starting to get on the downside of his career? Or, as in the case that it appears to be with David Harris, the linebacker who signed with the Patriots the other day, are the Jets just cutting salary and they're going to tank the season and try to get the number one draft pick in 2018? So that's kind of the only question I have about Eric Decker. If he's healthy, to me, he fits right in there with Rishard Matthews and number one pick Corey Davis, and that becomes your top three. And then Taywan Taylor, you know, obviously, who's probably ticketed to do some in the slot, is probably your fourth guy. And then after that, you know, you're trying to decide who's going to be number five and number six, if there is a number six.
Now, Terry, I mean, looking at where this team is at, and you talked, you just spoke about bringing Eric Decker in, Mariota's contract. I think the biggest thing with Mariota moving forward is, can he stay healthy? The last two years, he's been injured. So if he gets injured this year, the Titans are going to keep on putting off signing him, because then, as you know, Terry, if you get hurt 3 years in a row, you're labeled injury prone. And the way the Titans are built, they can't have that.
That's what happened to Jake Locker.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, Jake, you know, he got the label of being injury prone, and there was, you know, obviously some truth to that, because he never played more than, I think, 11 or 12 games in a season. And when you do that, you know, as they say, the best ability is availability. And, you know, it's important for Marcus this year to put in a full 16-game season and not finish the year on the shelf as he has in his first two seasons.
Yeah, because I think when he's healthy, he's one of, you know, if not, I would say he, Carr, Luck, and possibly Winston, as far as young quarterbacks in his league, they're going to be the next wave of quarterbacks that's going to lead this league. And if he stays healthy, he's one of the best. But if he's not and he's not available, this team really struggles. So they need him on the field as much as possible. Now, bringing in Decker, the guy that seems to be kind of falling down, and it's crazy how this league is 1 year you can come in and they're praising you, and they're telling you how well you're doing, and media is telling you how well you're doing, and then the next year you become the odd guy out. And it seems that way for Tajae Sharpe. One, injury. He sat most of this offseason, at least the last portion of practices. He sat with the foot, the stress fracture on his foot, and him having surgery. But then now the off-the-field stuff as well. How do you see this playing out for him? If he's healthy, do you think he's in the top three rotation? Obviously, if he's not healthy, then he won't. But then you have the legal problems going on.
Yeah, right now I think, you know, Tajae Sharpe is a big question mark. Not a question mark for his roster spot. I think he's probably going to be on your 53-man roster. But right now, to me, he's probably no better than your fourth receiver, maybe your fifth receiver, depending on what you think of Taywan Taylor and how quickly he can comprehend the playbook and become a playmaker himself. So I think, you know, to my way of thinking, you know, Tajae Sharpe, yes, he was a fifth-round pick, and like you said, he was kind of the darling last year because there really weren't a lot of options, and he showed himself to be able to come in, pick up the playbook quickly, run good, sharp routes, and I think part of what happened with Tajae Sharpe was he kind of hit that rookie wall. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the second half of the season, you started noticing a little bit of a decline in his production, and the consistency that had been there throughout OTAs and camp and maybe the first couple of weeks of the season started to fade a little bit. To me, Tajae Sharpe's going to get the benefit of the doubt because he's one of John Robinson's guys. John Robinson drafted him. John Robinson brought him in. John Robinson felt like that he was a guy who probably should have gone in the third round. They got him in the fifth round, that sort of thing. So I think when you look at, you know, Tajae Sharpe, even though he's got the stress fracture in the foot, even though there's the case that could be pending against him, I think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt from John Robinson as long as he shows that he's still with the program, that he's still capable of producing. But if that starts to slip, then that's where he can get in trouble, because as you know, mm-hmm. you know, John Robinson comes from the New England school of things, and you get every benefit of the doubt if you're with the Patriots until you don't. And that, and what that is that once you run out of chances, whether that's not performing right or to the level that people think you should, or you're not, or you're involved in off-the-field things or injured or things like that, then, you know, they don't mind cutting the cord. But I think, you know, as a draft pick of John Robinson, I think Tajae Sharpe will be on this 53-man roster. But, you know, his role on this team is certainly looks like it's going to be much less than it was a year ago.
We're talking with Terry McCormick, Titans insider. I'm talking all things Tennessee Titans. And that's the crazy part about it, Terry, is that a guy can go from being a darling to, if you don't know the game, then what I've been hearing is, oh, he tailed off during the end of the season. He's not a consistent player. Well, if you know football, you knew eventually he was going to hit that rookie wall. All rookies do it. Some do it and are able to, you know, regroup very quickly. Others are not. And Tajae Sharpe was one of the others. He hit the wall and he kind of declined after that. So it's just crazy how he went from being this guy to now people are questioning whether he's going to even make the, you know, top three or four rotation. Will he make the team? Possibly, yes. I think if you're looking at it, yes, he makes the team if everything clears off the field. But then he goes from playing, you know, 45, 50 plays a game to playing 20. Another guy that go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, before we go there, I want to ask you this, Derek, because you've got firsthand knowledge of it, and especially at the receiver position. When people talk about the rookie wall, is it more of a physical thing because you're playing 8 or 10 more games than you would in a college season, or is it a mental thing just because of the grind of the NFL, or is it both? Because I think, you know, when I think about Tajae Sharpe and the rookie wall, I see a guy who's really not the most physical guy around. He's, what, about 6'1", 6'2", mm-hmm. goes about 195 pounds maybe, soaking wet. And I think, you know, if those guys who are not big physical guys, you know, have to take on the pounding and the things like that come with the NFL much more so than college, then I think maybe that's part of what causes them to wear down over the course of their first year until they get used to that.
I think it's both. I think it's from a physical standpoint and mental standpoint, because it's you're playing 4 preseason games. Oh, before that, you're practicing 2-a-days, even though, you know, it's much lighter than what it used to be, but still you're practicing twice a day, and then you're playing 4 preseason games. You're getting a lot of minutes, because in his situation, you know, the Titans were thin at wide receiver, so he had to play a lot of minutes in the preseason. And then by game 6, by game 4 or 5, you're done. From a mental and a physical standpoint, you're being beat up. You got to block guys that are bigger than you. Running backs are running up your back, so they're knocking you down. It's just a big physical toll that every receiver, whether you're number 1 or you're number 51, you're going to go through as a rookie. Some, like I said, some tend to come out of it a little bit earlier and do well, you know, and some struggle. Amari Cooper even struggled, and we know how good Amari Cooper is. He even struggled, but he was able to regroup and go on. So you're going to have it. It's the mental and the physical. It's not one or the other. I think it's both, and especially Tajay's situation, because he's not a big guy. I think he picked up on a playbook very quickly, but, you know, the traveling, the practicing, and getting beat up in practice and then having to play a game, that takes a toll on you. When you can't perform physically, mentally, you start to lapse as well, because you're not concentrating, because you're thinking more so about your physical. A guy that I wanted to ask about is Taylor Lewan, because I think the Titans got a dilemma here in regards to, you know, contracts. Taylor's up, I think, in another year or so. You got Mariota. Carr just did a new deal, so I'm thinking, you know, Mariota camp is thinking, hey, listen, we in the next couple of years, we're going to want a new deal. So you're talking about two guys, two cornerstones of your team, your left tackle and your quarterback, are going to want big money.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I think, you know, Lewan is up first, like you said. He came into the league a year before Marcus did. So, you know, they picked up his option, which, you know, certainly was a no-brainer on their part to do that, given that, you know, Taylor turned the corner, kind of got some of his emotions under control that had plagued him earlier in his career, went on to have a Pro Bowl season. I think if you're the Titans, you know that you're bracing to pay Taylor Lewan, but then you know that right around the corner you've got to pay Marcus Mariota. The one thing you can do, obviously, with Mariota next year is pick up that fifth-year option, which keeps the guy there and buys you a little bit of time. Normally you wouldn't want to pay a guy, $14, $15 million a year, whatever that number is going to be. I haven't looked it up, to be honest with you, for that fifth-year option. But with a quarterback, you don't mind doing that. It's almost like putting the franchise tag on him or something like that. So I think with this situation, I think John Robinson just has to take them as they come. Work out a deal with Taylor Lewan, get that one, on the books, get it situated the way that works well for both sides, then turn your attention to Marcus Mariota's deal. The one thing the Titans do have going for them, they have plenty of cap space. Cap space has not been a problem now for several years, the way it's gone up all around the league and the way the television contract is. It makes sure that, every team has plenty to spend. There are some teams that have more of an issue of meeting the salary cap floor than they do meeting, the salary cap ceiling. So I think, the money's there. It's just a matter of, structuring these contracts in a way that it rewards the player but also protects the Titans in the event that, something gets off the track with these guys after they sign a big deal.
Just a name, and the first name, in your opinion, odd man out in the wide receiver room is whom?
Boy, right now, I'm going to give you two names.
I only want one.
You only want one?
I only want
wow.
one. First one, the first one would be atop that list first would be whom?
I think Harry Douglas could be in some trouble.
Okay.
I really do. I mean, a lot of people saying Trey McBride, but he was already a bubble guy anyway. I think the Decker signing really puts Harry Douglas behind the eight ball, kind of like he was last year. He's going to have a good, solid preseason and training camp once again to turn the heads. He does have the advantage that Malarkey and Terry Robiskie, both know him. They've been with him with the Falcons. They know what he can do. They know he's a good guy in the locker room, that sort of thing. But as you guys know, that only carries you so far. You've still got to produce.
Yep, that will be one of the positions we will be looking at very closely once camp begins here, not too long, just around the corner. Terry, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. We'll be back. Robbie Stanley will come in studio with us from NHL.com during the second hour of 3D. Darren McFarland and Derek Mason here in studio in Nashville. Willie Donick is standing by in Chicago, where tonight will be the NHL draft. Predators do not pick until pick 30 in the first round at the United Center. And Willie is there. I do not hear him. Willie.
Hello, guys. What's going on?
Wow. Very quiet where you're at. That's impressive.
Well, I have not made it to the United Center yet. That will be later on this afternoon. So right now I am in the hotel downtown Chicago. It's a beautiful day here, and the festivities are about to begin. The media is starting to gather, and there's a lot of trade rumors out there. That seems to be the theme of the day.
Okay, so let's start with the Predators. What are you hearing anything on their front? Because the Duchene stuff is still out there swirling. I mean, right now, today, your opinion, sitting here at 10:30 in the morning on Friday, on the day of the draft, what would you give it percentage-wise of actually happening and that trigger being pulled tonight?
I think, number one, that the what you're reading from guys like Elliot Friedman and Darren Drager and some of the guys who really have their ear to the trade winds, they believe that Joe Sakic is in the mindset to trade Matt Duchene, that he would like to do it if he can get the right return. Like we talked yesterday, he can still walk away. He's got time. There's still 2 years left on Matt Duchene's contract. So he doesn't have to make a move unless he really feels like the deal is a good deal for Colorado. But that being said, I think he really would like to shake things up. They need an overhaul in Colorado. So I think there will be a lot of calls about him today. And who knows what will happen. And I do think the Predators will certainly take a kick at it. We'll see what they're able to offer as compared to other teams. A team that I thought of, Darren, is Minnesota. Remember what happened Colorado definitely wants defensemen. Minnesota protected their extra defensemen, did not part ways with them. So they have some defensemen that I think Colorado could be interested in. So they might be a team to watch with Matt Duchene. That's just me thinking. But so I do think there will be competition for a guy like Duchene and what he brings to the table.
Mm. Yeah, I think the interesting, and I've had so many, and we're going to get into this more hot and heavy when Robbie gets in here in the second hour, but I'm just surprised, and you've been a part of this, these types of discussions off the air too. I'm surprised at how many people out there, it just goes to show you how bad people want to try to fill the void of James Neal. And here's the thing. While I made the case for James Neal, I don't think it's as big of a hole. To me, there are other things. People are willing to give up one of the top four, one of the guys. I guess if you were looking at one, the name that I hear the most is Ekholm to get him. To me, that is a bigger hole to replace than trying to fill the void left behind by James Neal, even though I made the case last Friday on why they should protect James Neal instead of Cale Yarncroke.
I don't think there's any way that they will part with the top four defensemen. It just will not happen.
I don't believe so either, but so many fans are saying, do it, and I'm surprised by that.
It's not going to happen. I think you have to understand the value of those top four defensemen, and especially when you look at the contract that they are signed to. Mattias Ekholm was signed for four more years at under $4 million a year. That's a steal for what he provides. And when you put that together, you know, that replacing James Neal can be done in a lot of different ways. James Neal's value is as a goal scorer, number one, a possession driver, number two. So there's different ways you can go about trying to replace those goals in that production. Remember, they were only going to have James Neal for one more year. He was probably going to walk to free agency. It was going to be very difficult to sign him past this coming season. So I think they're going to look at a lot of different options. I don't think they're sold. You know, they have to make a deal for any one guy. Another guy you're hearing a lot about all throughout the league, and remember, this is coming from Montreal, so you're going to hear more from that city than anybody else. But Alex Galchenyuk is another center who's got some offensive talent for whatever reason, and that you hear a lot of things, that he doesn't fit their system under Claude Julien, but he's a guy that's got some offensive talent, and he is still young. I think that would be an intriguing guy for Nashville, but I have no idea if they have actual interest. But he plays the same position as Matt Duchene. He's not quite as decorated. He had a bad year last year by his standards. But I think in the system that Nashville plays and the defensemen that they have generating pucks up ice, Galchenyuk would seem to me to be a guy that if you could get him, that would be a guy you would take a look at.
It seems to me just – me examining the situation and the roster and what they've done. To pull off another sizable trade, okay, it's not going to be of the magnitude of the last couple that they've done, but to pull off a sizable trade, I think the way they're constructed right now, I think the golden carrot, the piece that's dangling out there the most is going to have to come from the farm. I just can't imagine that they're going to be dangling an important piece that we're all expecting to be out there on the ice to start the season. I think the more attractive piece, rather than, you know, Seth Jones, Shea Weber, those were pieces intact. I think it's going to be somebody down on the farm, somebody for the future. Agree or disagree?
I agree, because you're trying to win right now. So it's got to be a trade that makes you better now, and I think you would hope to have a partner that is looking for something a little bit more down the road or long term. Now, would one of the young forwards perhaps be in a mix? You know, somebody like a Sissons go back to a Colorado if they in a package to get Duchene? You know, maybe you could talk about that. But it all depends. And, you know, I agree with you, though, in general. What the Predators have done is they have stockpiled a pretty good farm system right now. They like what they've got. They haven't traded a lot of their draft picks here recently. They've resisted doing that. So they have the assets to make a deal to get better today. But I think also David Poile is probably sitting in his shoes saying, you know, we have a good team right now. It's not as if we're desperate to make a move. It certainly hurts to have lost James Neal for nothing as part of the expansion process, and he would like to upgrade there. But I think if he just rolled out the team he's got right now, he's still got a pretty good team. So he's not desperate to make a move.
All right, let's do this. Derek's got a couple questions for you. We'll come back on the other side and address those. I did want to pass along, we put out there Luke Kornet, undrafted last night, but will join the Knicks. Also undrafted last night, MTSU Reggie Upshaw. He will join the Bucks in their summer league. So Reggie Upshaw from MTSU will join the Milwaukee Bucks for the summer league this year. So congrats to him as well. We'll come back on the other side. More of this. Willie is in Chicago. Willie, as we head to the break, I want you to tell folks about Lee Company.
I can do that, even from Chicago. That's not a problem. I'm looking at downtown Chicago right now, and it's a beautiful day. And the NHL draft is coming up tonight. And speaking of the NHL, Lee Company is a big sponsor of our Nashville Predators coverage, and they have been all year long. They're a big sponsor of the Predators in general. They love Predator fans. They love Nashville sports fans. And they want you to know about their great services. We use them at our house. We're talking about air conditioning, heating, plumbing, electric, and general maintenance. We've used them for an array of different things, including the back fence. You know, the gate was not working properly. It was starting to fall apart. We needed some fixing there. We called Lee Company, 567-1000. They came out, took care of the problem for us. So 567-1000 is the number to remember, or go online at leecompany.com and even ask them about their home maintenance plan. It's outstanding. They'll give you the yearly checkups for a small monthly fee, and you'll get discounts if repairs need to be made. And as you know, over the long haul, when you own a home, eventually you're going to need those repairs. So it's going to save you money. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Will the NHL draft be as active as last night's NBA draft? Oof. Man, last night was hard to keep up with in Brooklyn. Holy cow. I felt like every kid that went up on stage, he was getting the wrong hat because he'd already been dealt by the time he went up there to take a picture.
It's the NBA. It happens.
Denver just shipped you. Just you can take the Denver hat off.
You're
in Utah now, just so you know. Here's your Jazz hat.
That's the NBA draft. It happens every year. Some years is worse than others, but this year it's the same. So I guess it's not so much a question, the first one anyway, but it's, I guess, it's sort of a statement, and you were alluding to it before we got off the air and went to break, that David Poole's probably sitting and saying, you know what, yeah, we lost Neal. Yeah, it was a big loss. But now, I mean, we got enough guys. We've done a good job at scouting. We've done a good job at drafting and developing players. Now it's time for these guys that they were not getting the minutes because of Neal. Now it gives them an opportunity to go out there and play significant minutes and build on what they did last year. So I think when people are up in arms, you know, well, we should get this guy and trade this guy to get this guy, and you know, because we lost Neal, I don't think Poyle's that pressed. I think he only makes a deal if it makes sense. I don't think he's that pressed to make a deal because he feels he still has a team that can win the Stanley Cup.
I think you're right on, Derek. Take a look at two young guys, Kevin Fiala and Pontus Aberg. Last year, they almost, if you look, they took turns taking cracks at trying to stick long-term. And they both had their ups and downs. They both had opportunities that they just didn't have a whole lot of production, at least not what you want from a top six forward. They would go down to Milwaukee, and they would shine. They would earn another chance to come back up. By the end of the year, both of those guys, I thought, had made big strides. And so I think there's a reasonable expectation that next year you can count on them a little bit more. But is that enough? I mean, I still think if you are in a position to get an even more established guy without giving up the farm and making a desperate move, then you would go that route. But as you mentioned, I think this organization does believe in developing players and giving them a chance. And Kevin Fiala is going into his year 21 season. He's going to be age 21 when the season starts next year. He's making great strides with his injury. With a lot of you, I'm sure, saw the picture of him actually getting out on the ice for the first time. It's incredible. Yeah, absolutely. So I do think that they feel like they've got some guys who can score that haven't contributed a whole lot to this point, but they've shown enough that I think you feel like there's another level there.
Elliot Friedman, by the way, I'm glad you brought that. I mean, that was incredible to see Kevin Fiala out there yesterday. Just incredible. Elliot Friedman tweeting out a lot of rumblings today that the Blackhawks and the Coyotes are working on a deal that would allow Chicago to move up to the number 7 spot in the draft. I wonder what that's all about. And by
the way,
very
interesting.
What's going on out in the desert with Arizona? What in the world are the Coyotes? Dave Tippett shown the door? Oh, I'm sorry. Mutually agreed. What? End of June?
Dave Tippett.
Right before the draft? Their season's been over for 2.5 months.
Very, very interesting. And remember Dave Tippett, he's been there for 8 years.
Yeah.
Which means he precedes the brain trust that's in the front office right now. And you may know this story if you're listening. You may not if you don't follow closely. But they've got a GM who is, what, 27 years old now? Darren, he's had it for a year. He took over, I think, at age 26. He's kind of like the Theo Epstein of hockey. He's deep into analytics. He's in sort of radical thinking and trying to rebuild. And so is his stuff working so far? You don't see the fruits of it yet. He's trying to stockpile as many young assets as he can. They've almost tanked. One thing that they have shown the willingness to do is they will take a bad contract off your hands because they have room to tuck it in under their salary cap in exchange for, you know, some assets that will help them down the road. Now, I wouldn't think you'd want to trade the number 7 pick, but Chicago is desperate to dump money. They've got to clear some cap space to try to make some moves. So that's intriguing to me that those two are talking. We'll see if anything comes out of it.
Yeah, he tried to grow a beard during the playoffs, and he couldn't even do it. That's how young this cat is out in Arizona.
Yeah.
Let's go to, real quick, Chris. Chris, hey guys, welcome into 3D.
Hey, guys, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I just want to talk about the Preds for a second. You know, I think we've got a great, great farm system. Poles actually, you know, built a great system there. We've got a lot of prospects. My one question and maybe my concern is, you know, the nil loss is big, but we can handle that. What do you think? Does Poyle know Fisher's decision yet? I know they said they would give him all the time he needed, but that could really make a difference in what we need to do in making trades. Any thoughts on that?
It's a fair question, and I'll tell you what. Up here in Chicago, that is a question that I'm sure would be asked if, you know, and you know, if I get a chance, I'll try to see what the time frame is there. I think they have so much respect for Mike Fisher. They don't want to rush him in any way. But I think Mike Fisher, as a professional, certainly knows that this is the time that you start making the moves for your team next year. So if he can let them know, I think he knows that David Poyle would certainly appreciate it. He would like to know, because that is a pretty significant piece that you're going to have or not have.
You have all the time until we're ready to make a decision. That's basically what that says. You know, we're going to give you all the time that you need until we're ready to make a decision. Because like
right.
you
but,
said,
but I,
you know, eventually we have to do something, but we would rather you make the decision early and allow us to move forward, because the player will want the same thing. Either you make a decision on me or allow me to walk. And I think the Predators are saying the same thing with Fisher. We're going to give you enough time to make your decision, but you know ultimately that we as an organization have to make decisions that's going to fit the team. So we hope that you make it before we're ready to make a decision. That's the way I kind of see it. It could be different, but that's the way, you know, you do it in such a way that you respect the guy. You show everyone that you respect him. But yet and still, hey, listen, Fish, we got to know from you. Are you coming back or are you going to stay? Because if you're going to stay, then, okay, we want you here. But if you're not, we got to go elsewhere.
Yeah. I think that they will not rush him. They think enough of him. They will let him go. And the other reason they can do it is they have enough flexibility in the salary cap, I think, that they could make a big move, for example. If everything aligned today to make some sort of big move or in the early days of free agency, I don't think that would affect what they could budget Mike Fisher for. I think that in their mind they would have an idea of where he would fit in their scheme, and it would not put them at risk of going over the salary cap. I think they have enough flexibility in their roster and their cap structure that they can buy themselves some time if need be. And now the question was, do they already know privately? Maybe. I mean, I guess it is possible that privately they've had a talk or two.
They have an idea.
Yeah, they may have an idea.
Yeah. And I can see that happening, them having a roundabout idea after talking with him at the end of the year and seeing where he was, where he said it was. I'm pretty sure they know more than likely this is what's going to happen.
Hour number two of 3D. Robbie Stanley will join us in studio from NHL.com. That's next.